Hello, Internet. My name's Jonathan Cook.
And I'm Matt Noble.
And this week, we're bringing you part two of our miserable, sad, cringeworthy, pathetic countdown of the 20 most pathetic characters on TV.
It's a pretty pathetic list. We are looking at the 20 most pathetic TV characters of all time, or since 2000. I don't think we established that on the last.
It's probably since 2000.
Yeah.
I don't think we included anyone older than that.
No.
And if you're looking for a better intro on what the podcast is, go to part one of the podcast. This is part two. We made it halfway through the list. We've discussed 10 characters and put them into the very handy categories of high, middle, or low in terms of their pathetic ranking.
High meaning most pathetic.
Yes. And we're going to do 10 more and we're going to finish our rank. We will have an ordered list of the definitive official Screen Verdict certified most pathetic characters on TV.
Okay, do you want me to give you a quick rundown on the names we've already got on the list, just so
right.
We know where
a reference
we're
point.
Yeah, reference point.
I like it.
I'll just start for a high for now, I think, and work our way down. Is that okay?
Sure.
Okay. So at the top of the list at the moment, we have Angel Batista from Dexter. Very pathetic guy because he didn't know that a serial killer was working under him for the whole series of Dexter. So had the Miami's most wanted man right under his nose. Then we had Hannah from Girls, who she's so self-involved and complains a lot and just ruins the lives of anyone close to her so much that she's pretty pathetic. Then we have Izzy Stevens from Grey's Anatomy, who did some unethical things to save her boyfriend's or fiancé's life. He died anyway, and then she started going out with his ghost later on. And then there was a few other relationship dramas. We weren't brushed up on Izzy Stevens last time, so we've put her there as a bit of a placeholder. But we were going to do some Izzy Stevens research in between just to see how pathetic she went. So I think she's movable, and maybe at the end of the list we'll just make sure we're happy with her there.
Yeah.
Then we have Ted Mosby, quintessential pathetic guy, just constantly looking for love, constantly looking for a girl, always getting attached too quickly, always overthinking things. He's the really synonymous with pathetic Ted Mosby.
Such a Mosby.
Yeah. Then middle, we had Milhouse from The Simpsons. Not everything is up Milhouse, or whatever the say.
Everything's coming up Milhouse.
Yeah, not really, because he's pretty pathetic. Lisa doesn't like him. He's always the butt of everyone's jokes. Nothing goes well for Milhouse. From The Simpsons, that guy. Then Kim Bauer from 24. She's always getting kidnapped and getting in ridiculous situations with cougars. Need we say more? Then there is Jenna from 30 Rock, very self-involved, always falling flat on her face, sometimes not realizing how flat on her face she falls, but always setting herself up for disaster. Then low patheticness, we have Mike from Veep, the bungling press secretary for Selena Myers. We've got Skylar White from 24, the hypocritical wife of drug kingpin Heisenberg.
Was she in Breaking Bad and 24? You just can't get rid of that damn Skylar.
Yeah, and Pete Campbell, the sort of like slimy ad exec from Mad Men. So they're our list at the moment. Are we ready for the next name from the cowboy hat?
Yeah, that's a pretty pathetic list. Some of those are going to be tough to beat.
I can't remember who else is on the list, actually. I can't remember what other names we've got coming. I hope during the past week none of these names have gone missing, because I did use the cowboy hat a couple of times. So the names did come in and out a couple of times. So
you really need multiple cowboy hats just to get through day-to-day yeah. life these days, don't you?
Really? Yeah.
The amount of times I've had someone over and you're like, oh, where's the cowboy? Oh, we're cleaning. We just put the cowboy hat in the wash. I wish we had a second cowboy hat. Use that thing all the time.
Thinking, oh, I want to put the cowboy hat on. I said, oh, damn, it's got like 10 names in it from that podcast. And I thought, I can take him out and put it back in. So let's hope I did that. Okay, next name. Oh, here we go. Pretty pathetic. Carrie Matheson from Homeland.
Ooh.
2-time Emmy-winning character Carrie from an Emmy-winning drama series. Jonathan, why is she so pathetic?
Well, she falls in love with the terrorist. We've discussed some characters with some pretty terrible love lives so far. I think probably the most disastrous thing you could do would be fall in love with a terrorist. Perhaps even more so when you work for the CIA. That's having your cake and eating it too. Which is fair to say causes more than a fair few amount of problems for Carrie. On top of this, she's generally very stressed out. She has a lot of psychological problems. She goes through several meltdowns throughout the series. You know, in some ways, she's a lot more capable, a lot more intelligent than a lot of other people on this list. You have to root for her a little bit more, but she's arguably just as big a mess, if not the messiest of these characters.
She's not very good at handling people disagreeing with her or losses very well. In a sense that she's not very good at not getting away, but also in a sense where, like, a Jack Bauer in 24 just very coolly and calmly goes against the authority. Like, he just looks cool doing it all the time. They're just like, Jack, you can't go in and interrogate that person. He goes, I'm going to do what I want. And he just kicks it. Oh, no, he just goes, oh, okay, that makes sense. And then he, like, walks past the door, knocks a guy out, kicks the door in and goes, like, right, tell me where she is right now. We're running out of time. Where Carrie just, like, starts crying and going to theatrics and just screaming at people. She doesn't look cool, like, really as much as Jack, does she?
Does she need, like, a pair of shades?
Yeah, like, and a shoulder bag. and she's on medication, and then she doesn't take her medication, which makes things worse.
Have you ever seen a character in a show be on medication, stop taking that medication, and then it work out for the better?
No, never. Never. So this is bad. And then in the final season, she completely bungles her relationship with Brody. Like, she falls in love with a terrorist, and then, like, it's not like they have a happily ever after. Like, I'm not sure what Jennifer Lawrence is up to yet with Homeland. I mean, she listens to the podcast. I don't want to spoil anything.
Pathetic.
Yeah, pathetic, Carrie. Where are you thinking for Carrie? I'm thinking middle.
I was going to say middle as well. So who we got?
Okay, we've got Jenna. More pathetic or less pathetic than Jenna?
I'm going to go more?
Yeah, I was going to say, I was leaning more. Okay, Kim Bauer.
She has more good qualities, but her patheticness probably outweighs Kim's patheticness.
Yeah, here's the thing with Kim Bauer. She's pathetic, but it's often the situations she's in that are pathetic more than her as a character being pathetic. Like, you know, whereas Carrie, it's really her character that's pathetic.
So we're going more.
Yeah, Milhouse.
Milhouse just has nothing going for him.
I'd put her below Milhouse.
Okay, let's go below.
Yeah, I think above Kim, below Milhouse, which is not a very selfish pick of me because I did not leave much room in between those on the piece of paper, so it would have been easy for me to put her above him. Okay, next name. Oh, here you go. Toby from The Office. Jonathan, he was one of your picks. Talk through his patheticness.
Toby is very miserable, works in HR, has a very boring, droning type job. He's very, I don't know, he's just shy and sad and mopey. You never see a smile on his face. And whenever he does, just has that crack of a smile, something to give him the slightest bit of enjoyment. Someone is there to just slap him in the face and take it away. Everyone hates Toby. No one likes Toby. No one more than Michael Scott. Michael cannot stand Toby. He's put it upon himself to make Toby his nemesis, put Toby down, shut down Toby as much as possible. And sometimes it feels undeserved, but then sometimes Toby will just put himself in these just mind-blowingly cringeworthy situations. Like he'll, I don't know, it looks like he maybe like put himself out there with Pam, and he's like, ooh, Toby. Yeah.
I feel like Toby is no more pathetic than him being in love with Pam. Mm. He doesn't handle it well. She doesn't like it. It's the Charlie Brown syndrome. Liking a girl that doesn't like you comes across as very, very pathetic.
Does he not watch the show? Is he not aware that no one's going to root for this? Has he met Jim? Is he aware of Jim and Pam?
Yeah.
One of the greatest television couples of all time. Like, what is Toby bringing to the table? Like, his novel, like, fiction novels that he's yet to write about whatever his name is, like Jared Gunderson, streetwise detective, African-American, smooth-talking, jazz-listening to, like, Toby, yeah. Even, like, Toby's alter ego just depresses you.
Yeah. What are you thinking? High, middle, or low?
He's pretty high.
I was thinking middle. He's really pathetic. But at the same time, part of you feels a bit sorry for him because of just...
He goes, like, what does he do? He plans... He finally gets his trip to, like, Fiji or whatever, and then he ends up... I don't know, what does he do? Like, fall out of a plane or a boat or, like... He spends, like, his whole holiday in casts, like, head to toe and just watching TV in a hospital, and that's the... Like, nothing works out for Toby.
And he's on the jury duty for one season, and it's an interesting case, and he's just, like, trying to brag about how he's on, like, the jury and no one's interested.
Was it the Scranton Strangler?
Yeah.
All right, well, okay. Who's at the top of middle? Because I think he's pretty high.
Okay, yeah. Milhouse is at the top of middle. Ted Mosby's at the bottom of high.
Oh, geez,
I feel like we're probably putting Toby in between those two people at the moment. I'm happy to put him high.
All right, I agree. Let's do it.
As long as he's not above Ted Mosby, I can go high with Toby. Okay. Let's go. Next name. Where the hat? Oh, okay. A lead in a show. Mm. A show that I've got some friends that quite like this show. JD from Scrubs. I nominated him. And I feel like before there was Ted Mosby, there was maybe JD.
A trailblazer for pathetic characters everywhere.
Yeah. He's in the hospital. He's constantly stuffing up all his relationships. His mentor is constantly berating him for how pathetic he is and how girly he is and how lame he is. And, like, one of the best things in the show is Dr. Cox ranting at how pathetic JD is. Everyone loves that. And then he's always, like, he's got this on-and-off thing with Elliot that he always, like, stuffs up and stuff. He's in the friend zone with her for the whole first season. Then he finally gets together with her and screws it up. And then, you know, they get back together. You know, it's really just... And then every other girl he meets, he's hoping to get something out of. Then he accidentally... Like, at one point, he accidentally sleeps with Dr. Cox's ex-wife. And then the janitor in the hospital hates him.
Yeah.
and is constantly pranking him, which I think is my favorite part of Scrubs, is just the janitor pranking JD and just making life miserable for JD. And I'd say often when you've got someone, like, trying to get the lead or whatever and trying to make life hard for the lead, they often get their comeuppance.
Yeah.
But the janitor never gets his, rarely gets his comeuppance. He's got a very high strike rate of, like, just humiliating JD and not having it turn back on him. So, you know, usually you'd expect with a janitor character a bit of the Wile E. Coyote syndrome, whereas just he's always trying to prank JD and he's like, ah, JD! But no, he's... So I think JD's... The more I'm talking about him, the more I'm thinking, this is a pathetic guy. What do you think, Jonathan?
JD's pretty frustrating because he's one of those characters that only wants what he doesn't have. So we'll go through this whole big thing of him trying to get with Elliot, and they get together, and then he isn't happy anymore, so he screws it up. So we're like, well, what was all that time we invested into that? And then he'll try and get back with Elliot, and now we're not even rooting for it anymore, but we're wasting all this time on them trying to get back together. He's very frustrating. He, I guess, at least is a doctor. He seems okay at being a doctor. He has some friends. Yeah. Turk is pretty cool. You know, he has some things going. He's not the big... He managed to hook up with a fair amount of girls. Like, he ruins all the relationships. But, you know, for this kind of awkward, geeky, annoying guy, he does all right. He could do worse.
Yeah.
I'm thinking middle for JD.
I just remembered another thing. We get to hear his constant monologue, inner monologue on the show with this narration that really grates me a bit after a while and does show window into how pathetic and self-involved he is.
He's incredibly naive. The separation from what he perceives to be going on and reality is rather disturbing for a doctor. I want my doctor's perception on things to be firmly based in reality.
Yeah, okay. So what are you thinking? Sorry? Well,
I said middle.
Yeah, I think top of middle, though. I think above Milhouse.
Above Milhouse.
Oh, Milhouse is pretty pathetic.
I would go below Carrie. Milhouse. Okay, let's go above Carrie, below Milhouse.
I don't have any room there, so we'll have to remember that.
Draw an arrow.
Yeah. Okay, an arrow's been drawn. Okay, next name. Oh. Joffrey, Game of Thrones, King Joffrey, Baratheon, or Lannister, or whatever you wish.
Is this top 20 everybody's favorite characters?
Yeah.
I don't know. Who doesn't love Joffrey?
As we addressed in our last Screen Verdicts Game of Thrones podcast, we both have a bit of a soft spot for Joffrey.
He went from being, season one, season two, everyone was just constantly like, when are they going to kill Joffrey? I can't stand Joffrey. I hate Joffrey. By around season three or four, there kind of was this gratifying feeling in hating Joffrey. And you didn't want that to go away anymore. Like, hating Joffrey became part of the show.
Yeah. And I just found him more and more entertaining. Like, I'm always like, a scene is never going to be boring that Joffrey is in. He's always going to make a scene better and more interesting. He's the straw that stirs the drink sort of thing. And I was just more in awe and impressed by his ability to just say whatever he wanted to say. Like, he could just, he's the king, and he could just be as douchey as he wanted to anyone. And I think actually in some ways, like, just his confidence and his unashamedness works against him being pathetic. But he did die. He did meet his comeuppance. And that's pretty pathetic.
Here's the thing about Joffrey. He combines the immaturity of youth with just a natural or innate cruelty / douchebaggery with the pompousness of being brought up in this well-to-do family and the limitless power of being king. And he just wields it as this almighty chain of patheticness.
I think we've got to put Joffrey low, because in the Game of Thrones, there are so many people that are trying to get on this Iron Throne. And he was able to hold it longer than anyone else so far has. He's had that for two and a bit seasons on the show. I feel like he was able to, you know, like, that's what I'm thinking. He was able to be king of Westeros. This is something Daenerys has been trying to do for, like, four seasons now.
See, that's something... He is pathetic, and when he, you know, went to the Battle of Blackwater, he acted cowardly. But the thing is, because he has that power of being the king, they're able to tell the story however they like.
Mm.
So as pathetic as he is, he often comes out the victor in a lot of these situations. So I agree. Definitely pathetic, but I'm going to say low on the list.
I would actually say with Joffrey, his most pathetic moment was when the crowd and the started throwing stuff at him and he just panicked. And then the next time we ever see him in the town, they're like carrying him around in a little cage because he's too afraid to go outside. I think that was his low point. Okay, so Joffrey low. Lower than Pete Campbell? I'm going to say higher than Pete Campbell.
Higher than Pete Campbell, all right.
Skyler, lower or higher?
Ooh. I'm going to say lower.
Okay. Lower, so we'll put him there. Okay, good. Okay, let's go. Next name. Out of the cowboy hat. We have Drama from Entourage. Jonathan, he was one of your picks. Fill us in.
Drama, okay. He experienced a bit of fame in the 90s. He was on a TV show that got a bit of a cult following called Viking Quest, so things were going pretty well for him. But then the show got cancelled, and he wasn't able to get any more parts, and he aged. And then his younger brother... his half-brother, Vince, ends up becoming, you know, the A-list celebrity, one of the biggest stars on the planet. And so he always has to live in not just his brother's shadow, but his little brother's shadow. And he becomes the butt of all these jokes about how he used to be famous, and he doesn't deal with this well. All his neurotic self-esteem issues come out. And, you know, at the start you think of the show, you think Turtle's the comic relief, but Drama becomes the comic relief over time as Turtle actually builds himself into a successful entrepreneur, where Drama doesn't really go anywhere. He's, you know, thinks about getting calf implants because he's worried about his calves being too small. He ruins a photo shoot because the photographer take photos from one side because he thinks that's his bad side. He is just... nothing works out for Drama. He isn't willing to work with anyone, and these self-esteem issues and neuroses just drive the audience mad and drive himself mad.
He is a ball of insecurity, Drama. Yet, he is part of this cool entourage. Like, he's got a brother that looks out for him and has his back. He's got some good mates. Like, yeah, what do you think? High, middle, or low for Drama?
Despite being the least cool of the group, it's a pretty cool group. So you could do worse. I'm going to say low.
Okay. Lower than Pete Campbell. I'm going to say no.
Fair enough.
Joffrey.
Ooh, probably lower than Joffrey.
Okay, so we'll put him... boy, if Pete Campbell has a really pathetic last season of Mad Men, like, you know, I could see him climbing up this list, but I feel like at the moment things are looking okay for Pete. Okay, okay, next name. Out of the hat. I can't even read this. Oh, yeah, okay, this is one of my picks. Jack Shepherd from Lost. The main guy from Lost, Matt, played by Matthew Fox. I just feel like this guy was a massive wet blanket for most of Lost. Like, they crash on the plane, okay, he saves a couple people, that's cool. Then, like, Locke's really excited to go hunting and stuff, and all Jack does is, like, complain. Like, he's like, oh, we've got to get off this island, oh, man, this is horrible. Like, and then we flash back to what his life was like before the island, and, like, there were alcoholism and daddy issues. It sounded like his life was pretty pathetic off the island, so I don't know why he's not using being on this island with these, like, sort of young group of young, sexy people that he's, like, why he's not taking advantage of this and actually just enjoying it for what it is, like Locke is, where Locke goes, yeah, life was pretty shit, like, where I was, so, like, you know, let's just take this for what it is and have fun while I'm on this island and do some cool stuff. And then Jack gets off the island in season 3 or 4, and then he figures out he wants to go back to the island, so then he spends the whole time once he's off the island trying to convince other people to go back onto the island. He's like, we gotta go back! We have to go back! Then he gets back on the island, and then he's complaining about that. Like, oh no, now we need to get back off the island. Like, this guy just can't make up his mind. Like... And then he dies on the island at the very end of the season. So there you go. Like, Jonathan, you've dabbled in Lost. You used to be really into it. I'm not sure if you stuck through it the whole way through like I did, but what's your thoughts on Jack?
No, I watched the first 3 seasons, a little bit of season 4. I fell off, partly because I was less interested, and also the writer's strike just helped with that. You know, at the start, I thought Jack was going to be the cool character, you know. He's pretty handsome, he's kind of rugged, got a cool stubble sort of going. He's a doctor, so he's useful. He looks like he's going to be the strong leader on the island. But he's just kind of the naysayer. He's just like, no, I don't think we should do that. No, that sounds too risky. No, I don't think, no. It's just like, what do you bring to the show? Because all you're doing is saying no to all the exciting adventures that you could possibly have on the island.
Yeah.
So I grew pretty tired of him rather quickly.
Yeah, and then there's the love triangle with him, Kate, and Sawyer, which he does not like. Come across really. One of my favourite scenes is when the others kidnap those 3 and they got, like they've got Sawyer and Kate, like, in a cage together. And, like, after a couple of days in a cage, I think, like, they start sleeping together or something. I can't really remember exactly how far they go. But anyway, Jack's, like, watching them on a video camera, like, okay, he's pretty pathetic. I'd be happy to put Jack high.
I was thinking middle.
I think I was thinking low high, though. So I'd be happy low high or high middle for Jack.
So what would you say compared to Milhouse?
Because Jack does have some good qualities. Here's my thing with a person like Jack. I don't feel like we were meant to find him that pathetic as we did. Whereas Milhouse is intentionally pathetic by the writers. So I get a bit more satisfaction in putting the unintentionally pathetic characters higher on the list.
The pathetic characters that are not in on the patheticness certainly adds to their patheticness.
Yeah. Yeah.
All right, so above Milhouse, who else can we compare it to?
Well, Toby's the next person on the list, which is in high.
Mm.
Which, again, is your intentional and unintentional pathetic, but we did decide Toby's higher than Milhouse. I'm happy to put Jack below Toby.
All right, that seems fair.
But I'd be happy to put him higher, too, if you thought he was higher. But then we're getting in high territory. Okay, Jack in middle, above Milhouse. Okay, next name. Okay, you pick this one, but I know him well. It's Rick from The Walking Dead.
Oh, dear. Rick. Now, he was someone that started off, like, what I wanted Jack to be. He was cool. He was a strong leader. Also had a rugged beard. Had a sheriff's hat. We're a big fan of the hat.
The cowboy hat, man.
But by the end of the series, or at least where we're up to now, Carl is firmly wearing the cowboy hat. Over the course of the show, he has lost his balls many times over. He lost control of the leadership. His wife was sleeping with Shane. He loses control of his son. He starts hearing things, seeing ghosts. He starts going, no, we shouldn't have guns on the property. Oh, whoops, we got attacked. Maybe we should have been more prepared for this. Didn't really deal with the governor when perhaps I should have. Oh, now I'm nearly dying and I'm pretty much just dead weight for my son and stuff to look after. No character has really taken that far a dive, as far as I can remember.
And every season, he sort of hinges on him, like, completely flip-flopping on the previous season. Like, you know, the end of season two, Rick goes sort of like, okay, guys, it's now my way or the highway, whatever. And then the end of season three is like, we're a democracy now. I'm not leading this. And then like, season, like, the next season, he's sort of like, okay, I can't remember the next season. It's probably like, they messed with the wrong guys.
The cheesiest season final line of dialogue today. And that's... And Walking Dead sets a high bar in that regard.
Yeah. Okay. So Rick, he's pretty pathetic. I agree, if you start off really cool. If he was to wear a cowboy hat, I'd bump him down a few patheticness, to be honest. Like, the cowboy hat added a lot to his lack of patheticness. Where are you thinking for Rick? I think he's a very similar to Jack Shepard sort of territory here.
I think he could be even higher than Jack.
Okay, should we put him above Toby and below Ted Mosby in high?
Yeah, I don't think he's as pathetic as Ted.
Yeah. Okay. Next name out of the hat, which is the last in the hat.
Oh, wait, just Skype was sort of lagging.
Okay.
I didn't just say something so I could see if it's still lagging.
Hello, it's me. And if you heard hello three times, it doesn't mean that there's a problem. I said it three times.
Right, it seems to be working.
Okay, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16. There you go. So there's one name left in the hat, which if Mass tells me anything means I have lost two names in the course of the week. So we'll have to look for them in a minute. But okay.
You idiot.
We've got Jerry from Parks and Recreation. Jonathan, you tell us a bit about Jerry while I have a bit of a walk around the room and look for the last couple of names.
All right. Well, Jerry is, I guess, comparable to a Toby, sort of Toby-esque. I don't know. But he is sort of the butt of everyone's jokes. I mean, some people, you know, just ignore Toby, don't even realize he's there, just doing his HR thing in the business. But Jerry is just constantly berated by everyone. No matter what goes wrong in the office, it's Jerry's fault. They don't even know his name. His real name is Gary or Jared or something. They just call him, and he just doesn't even have the heart to tell them that they're calling him the wrong name. I mean, he's unfortunately overweight. He's always tripping and farting. He's clumsy. He's always getting sick. He just struggles. Every little tiny task, any little teeny aspect of life is just an absolute battle for Jerry. There is the one.
I think he's very much the Toby, and he's a very similar type of character to Toby. So what I'd like to do with him is he more or less pathetic than Toby?
Here's the thing. I think his general personality is even more pathetic than Toby. But there is that one piece of shining light, and it's an enigma, a mystery yet to be explained by the show. But he does have a beautiful wife with beautiful kids that he seems very happy with. So despite being more of a battler than Toby, I think Toby pining for Pam is more pathetic than Jerry.
I feel like Jerry is more content in his life. And even at work, he seems to get some enjoyment, even though people are mean to him.
Yeah, whereas even when they're making fun of him, he still views them as friends.
Yeah, whereas I feel like Toby, he might think of the people at work as friends, but boy, he's really unhappy with his relationship with probably most people in the show. So Jerry, actually, I'm thinking now we're talking about Jerry and his wife and his family. He's probably Loeb. He's probably more similar to, like, a Mike, who's very pathetic and doesn't have much respect, but sort of owns it a bit more.
I'd say he's similar to Mike, but I'd maybe put him above Mike.
Yeah, low above Mike?
Sure.
Okay, I found one of the two last names. Okay, so I'll pull that one out, and then I'll try to research and use the process of elimination to figure out who is the last name. So the second last name, out of the cowboy hat, another one of yours, Jonathan, so you can talk about him, Cricket, from It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia.
Rickety Cricket, It's Always Sunny. We love Cricket. He went to high school with the gang, and he had some sort of brace that he needed, a physical therapy in order to get around, and it made a squeaky, creaky sound. That's how he got the name Rickety Cricket. So that's a tough start. The kids weren't nice to him about his situation, constantly picked on. D said that she would kiss him if he proved his love to her by eating poop, and then he did. And then when he went to kiss her, he said, "I'm not going to kiss you because your breath smells like poop." So that's sort of the thing that Cricket was dealing with on a daily basis. He also gets tricked into falling in love with Dee as an adult when he's working for the church. He leaves the church for her, then, not actually interested in that. He ends up becoming homeless, addicted to drugs. At this point, he's no longer Cricket. He becomes Street Rat. So you know how things are going for Cricket there. He seems to sort of lose a fair amount of hair and teeth throughout the show. Gets involved in their pro wrestling thing, and when gets hit by a trash can, gets his neck cut open. So the rest of the series, he's got this sort of wound and scar on his neck. The writers on that show just do not hold back on the cruelty on which they were willing and able to dole out on Rickety Cricket.
Yeah. Okay, great. Sorry, just trying to figure out who that 20th person is. We're struggling. Rickety Cricket. He's pretty pathetic. He's pretty bad. Like, nothing goes well for him. He's a bit of the Toby Flenderson of It's Always Sunny. No respect, not much love. I don't know, Jonathan. What are we, like?
Whoa. I feel like anybody that is the subject of a manhunt deserves to be pretty high up on the list.
Does he bounce back a bit better than some of the other characters?
Not really. I mean, at some point he sort of enjoys the drugs he's on, seeing as he's become a drug addict, and he's able to laugh at certain things. But the fact that, you know, he enjoys eating lemon peels because it staves off the scurvy, despite him saying it with a smile, it's not really a win for Cricket. It's not really him bouncing back.
Yeah.
I'm going to say hi.
Hi? Higher than Toby. I think so.
Higher than Toby.
Higher than Toby. Lower than Rick, though, I'd say.
Yeah, I mean, at least he gets to be involved in the gang's adventures, I suppose.
Yeah. And I feel like it's, again, the intentional pathetic versus unintentional pathetic rule coming into play. We have, I think we only ever had 19 names. I'm calling it.
Matt, what? I thought you were our lead administrator.
Okay, because I've got your 10 here. Toby, Hannah, Jerry, Drama, Joffrey, Cricket, Mike, Kim, Rick, and Jenna. 1, 2, 3, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. So we got those. And then I got my 10 here, which is Ted Mosby, Mark Boudreau for 24, who we subbed out for Milhouse because we didn't want 224 people. Then Jack Shepherd, Skylar White, Pete Campbell, Angel Batista, Carrie Matheson, Izzy Stevens, and JD from Scrubs, which is actually 9 names, not 10.
Matt, your inability to count has screwed us once again.
Maybe we should get the fans to pick the 20th most pathetic character from TV for the past 20 years. They can submit nominations, and whoever submits the best nomination, they get, I know, a prize or something.
Yeah, okay. Ooh, I actually have a prize that
is this the thing you were telling me about?
I have no idea what I was telling you about.
Okay, well, tell me what the prize is, and then I'll tell you whether that's what you were telling me about.
Well, due to some unfortunate circumstances for myself, I no longer have an iPhone 4. But in some fortunate circumstances for our Screen Verdict listeners, that now means that I have a iPhone 4 Screen Verdict phone case that we can give away.
Great. That is what you're telling me about.
I told you that like a month ago.
And with the iPhone 6 just being released, the iPhone 4 phone case will be in hot demand.
Yeah. I'm sure there's a lot of people picking up bargains on the iPhone 4 right now. Oh, and yeah. They're going to need a snazzy Screen Verdict case to go right along.
Oh, yeah. That's a great prize. It's so how about we'll set up a thread on the Facebook page. You send us who you think the most pathetic character is that we did not mention on our list, and they'll get slot 20, if we agree.
I like it.
And give a reason. Give a reason as to why you've nominated that person. Convince us. And whoever has the best reason will get that slot. Now, we need to solidify our list. I think it looks pretty good. I think there's just going to maybe be discussion over who gets the number one slot.
Mm. All right, let's start with the lows.
Okay. 19, Pete Campbell. 18, Johnny Drama from Entourage. 17, Joffrey Baratheon / Lannister from Game of Thrones. 16, Skylar White Breaking Bad. 15, Mike from Veep. 14, Jerry from Parks and Recreation. 13, Jenna from 30 Rock. 12, Kim Bauer, 24. 11, Carrie Matheson from, what's that show? Homeland. Okay, now the top 10. In 10th spot, we've got Milhouse. In 9th, we've got JD. In 8th, we've got Jack Shepherd. In 7th, we've got Toby from The Office. In 6th, we've got Cricket from It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia. And now the top 5, Rick Grimes from The Walking Dead. 4, Ted Mosby from How I Met Your Mother. 3, Izzy Stevens from Grey's Anatomy. 2, Hannah Something from Girls. And 1, Angel Batista from Dexter.
It's a pretty pathetic list.
It's a really pathetic list.
I'm just feeling down in the dumps, just thinking about all the shortcomings of each of those characters.
I'm gonna now. Uh-oh,
you froze. You froze, bro.
It's research.
Yeah, I lost ya.
Major Tom.
Yeah, gone. Oh, I can hear Major Tom.
Are you in Major Tom?
Yeah, I can hear you now.
Okay. Great. So, what was I gonna say? Oh, did you do any Easy Stevens research, Jonathan?
I was able to catch a couple of YouTube clips, and my favourite part of it was just when I YouTube searched the name, was the titles of the scenes alone was Izzy witnesses Darren's death, or Izzy breaks up with Johnny for the second time. Each of the clips that were the top search results on YouTube were absolutely miserable.
Yeah. So, here's the research I did. I watched some clips like you did online. Someone has thankfully posted every scene from Izzy and Denny's relationship onto YouTube in like 16 parts. So let me just try to find out. I'm reading a bit on the Wikipedia page because I think this gives a good summary as to what happened. Izzy reveals that she has a daughter, as she had a daughter at the age of 16, that she was sent to adoption while treating a pregnant teenager. She falls in love with cardiothoracic patient Denny Duquette, and the two become engaged. When Denny's condition deteriorates, Izzy deliberately worsens his health further by cutting his LVAD wire to move him up the donor registry. Although Denny receives a new heart, he has a stroke hours later and dies. Izzy is the sole beneficiary of Denny's will, inheriting $8.7 million. Maybe that's an argument against the patheticness, but she uses the money to open a free clinic at the hospital, the Denny Memorial Clinic. There's a great scene on YouTube of her dad, of Denny's dad, just being, like, so angry at her. Like, what were you playing at? Why were you playing with his heart like that? And, like, sort of, you wanted the money. Like, Izzy disapproves of George's relationship and marriage to an orthopedic resident, Kelly, so she and George sleep together and attempt to keep their liaison a secret. So anyway, then Kelly discovers that George has been unfaithful, so they separate. And George and Izzy embark on a short-lived relationship, only to discover there is no real chemistry between the two of them. So then she starts. Izzy supports Alex, another one of the doctors, when he discovers his new girlfriend has a psychiatric. When he discovers his girlfriend has psychiatric problems, and convinces him to have her committed. Izzy and Alex then go on to rekindle their relationship.
Oh, dear.
Though Izzy is concerned when she begins hallucinating Denny. And then she starts a relationship with the ghost of Denny, although then she discovers she has a malignant melanoma, which has spread to her liver and brain, causing the hallucinations. I don't know the fact it's a brain tumor counts against the patheticness. Like, we should just feel a bit more like, oh, that's a sad thing she had to go with, rather than, oh, how pathetic, having a brain tumor. She then marries Alex in a ceremony in front of all their friends. She then has a procedure to remove her second brain tumor, but it causes her to lose short-term memory. And although she soon regains it, she flatlines moments later. At the end, she has a DNR order and her friends ignore it and resuscitate her. So even though she didn't want to be, she gets resuscitated and is transported with blah, blah, blah. And then George dies. I don't know what that has to do with anything. And she then returns to work. She then makes a treatment error that endangers the life of a patient and is fired from the hospital. She's believing Alex is partly to blame, so she writes him a Dear John letter and leave. Izzy later learns that Alex was not responsible for her lost job and returns to make amends with him, but Alex is moving on. Izzy informs Alex that she no longer has cancer. Although he is pleased, Alex officially breaks up with Izzy, telling her that he loves her but deserves better. She then leaves to start afresh. And then Alex sends her the divorce papers. Sorry that went on a bit, but I feel like that was very pathetic.
Yeah, that was just, that was kind of mind-blowing.
And that's why I kept on going with it, because I feel like every new development was more pathetically surprising than the last.
My only concern is that it's just outlandish writing. You know, are these situations that are happening to her, you know, how much of it is from her personality, or is it just, you know, the show has just jumped the shark and is just writing insane storylines, which happen to be pathetic for Izzy?
Yeah, I agree. I also think maybe the fact that she has a brain tumor for some of the story might be, like, sort of will give her a pass on some of the stuff that results from the brain tumor.
I mean, yeah, that's like, that's, you know, one of those things that, you know, things not working out for a character, but it's not as pathetic as you just dreaming up a ghost and then falling in love with a ghost that you made up.
Yes, I feel like, you know, like, yeah, people like, you know, it's not like we're going to go, oh, and Jerry is so pathetic because he has cancer or so, you know, like, cause I feel like it was...
That was like my, we can't have Walt Jr. on the list.
Yeah. Although, to be fair, we weren't really that kind to Carrie Matheson with her medication.
Because she chooses not to take it, I suppose.
That is fair enough. That is fair enough. So, we've at the moment got Izzy Stevens in three. We have an incredible saga of patheticness. Can she go to number one? I think you're leaning no.
I think three is the right spot. I mean, Hannah, it's hard to match Hannah. And Angel just has every facet locked down in his personal life, professional life. And they're not just these small disasters. They're giant disasters. And he's not in on it. He still thinks that Dexter is this friend that he's helping out.
Yeah.
He's been brought information. It happens right in front of him. He even sees Dexter kill a guy in an interrogation room, and he's like, oh, well, this is how it must have gone down. No!
Yeah.
No, Batista!
Angel, I am so comfortable with Angel at the top of this list. Okay, so Angel, Hannah, Izzy, the top three. We'll put this list on lockdown. It's done.
It's a
That's
wrap.
Our top 20. Or top 19, with 20 to come from you, the listeners. What number do we say in the title of this podcast is the one you wouldn't believe?
I think number 12 has to be seen to be believed.
What is 12?
They never say 1 or number 20, depending on which way the countdown goes, because it's always so bizarre when it's like, the 20 most shocking plane disasters of 2012. Number 11 will really shock you. Well, shouldn't number 1 shock me the most? It's like, well, no, you pick something in the middle to make sure that I click as many of those slide-throughs as I can until I'm sort of committed to having to click through the rest of them.
So 12's Kim Bauer. Should we pick... I think we should pick the one that is either the most surprising or the one that is the least surprising name on the list.
So people get mad when it's not surprising?
People will get mad regardless. No one ever is overwhelmed. Everyone is always underwhelmed with the one that is highlighted in the title. Maybe we should just own that people are going to be underwhelmed regardless of who we pick. Ted Mosby?
I think I said number 4 in the... It wasn't in the title, but it was in the description last time.
Yeah, he is
and
number
that's
4.
Yeah.
Should we go with 9, JD?
Some people like JD. That might annoy some people.
I feel like let's go 9. Let's go JD at 9. I like that one. It will shock you. Won't believe number 9. And it's also one that we added this podcast. So if you listen to the first podcast, it's not like you would have heard us talk about that name. Like, I think of Ted Mosby, he was 4 anyway going into this.
Well, there you go. You won't believe it unless you're listening to the podcast now. And you've already seen it and believed it, courtesy of not Ripley, but Matt and myself on yet another epic Screen Verdict rank.
Yeah. And, Jonathan, housekeeping. Do you have any housekeeping?
No, but I think you might have some international housekeeping for the Screen Verdict listeners, Matt.
Do I? What is it?
Sometime in the future, around the end of October.
Yes. I'm going to be in the States. Is that the news?
Screen Verdict is going to be on the same continent, same time zone, same wacky corner of the world, and we're going to be bringing you all the Screen Verdict action in and around LA. We're going to get up to some shenanigans.
Can we do a live show in LA? In Hollywood?
Yeah, I'll see if the Nokia Theater is free. We'll cross-reference their dates with yours.
I do. I might have. I will talk to you about this. We'll plan this off air. I don't want to blow my spotlight. I don't want to do organizing on air. But like, let's try to do a live show from Hollywood. And yeah, let's try to get up to some shenanigans. I would love to drive out to sort of the desert one day and try to do a Wile E. Coyote contraption and see if it worked out there. I think that would be fun. I've got some ideas. Anyway, I've got some other housekeeping. I was out with friends last night, right? We're having dinner. Lovely dinner. Nice friends. And someone brought up sort of this mystery disagreement that they sort of have with someone. And I offered to solve for the Screen Verdict Detective Agency to solve the case. And one of my friends, fan of the podcast, Jasmine, said, "But you're not really detectives."
As far as I know, the Screen Verdict Detective Agency has solved 100% of cases that have come through our doors.
Yes.
How many other private eyes can say the same?
I don't know, but, like, I was appalled to hear this. So, it was her birthday this week, so I think I will get her, for her birthday, on CD, the detective episode of our podcast.
Who stole the cookies?
It's a great case, and I'd recommend all our fans, if you've not heard our detective podcast, to go back and listen to it, because that's one of our best, I think.
The mystery of the missing cookies. It's an unparalleled story of detectivery.
Yeah, I think
it goes all the way to the top.
One more Emmys than True Detective from memory. But we did put ours in the miniseries race. So anyway, it was fun podcasting. How good's that? And the call that I was meant to get it for hasn't come through yet, Jonathan. So how good's that?
It's a win-win-win. Hopefully the listeners felt like they won. We'll be back next week to do it all over again.
Are you going to see Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles?
I used to love that as a kid. This one does not look good. I am not excited.
I just went to the premiere, so I've got some stories from that. That's more like why I want to do it. But I can always do that in housekeeping.
I've seen Guardians of the Galaxy.
I haven't seen that. Maybe we could you review Guardians of the Galaxy and I review Ninja Turtles.
So, we hope you enjoyed the podcast.
Mm. Thanks for listening. I hope you have too. Oh, you said we. You already included me in that. I agree with Jonathan.
The royal we.
Yes.
And we'll catch you next week.
Catch you next week. Bye.